Joined now by Josh Eilert, the Osborne, Kansas native. We had Josh on the show a few times before. It's been a while since we talked to him. It's been a lot has changed since we last talked to Josh, including his position with the West Virginia men's basketball team. Josh, how you doing, my man? And congratulations on your promotion.
Thanks, Wade. I'm excited about it.
Well, tell us how this all came about for you to move up to a hotter seat on the bench.
I don't know. Doesn't seem like it's changed a whole lot. You know, I've been with Hugs for 16 years and 15 years here at West Virginia. So, you know, it's certainly going to be more pressure on me, you know, but it's something I'm excited to have on my plate and turn up the pressure a little bit.
Talk about the journey that you have had to take. I mean, this is very common amongst many people in different sports in regards to, and even in a corporate world as well and in life, is that sometimes you kind of have to wait your turn, and that can be frustrating at times. Just talk about the journey and what you've had to put in and sacrifices that you've had to make, and of course your family, I'm sure, has made for you to get to this point.
Yeah, Wade, it's a double-edged sword in this business. You know, on one hand, especially have a family, you want to set down roots and you want to give a stable lifestyle. But on the other hand, you're like, okay, if you're gonna move up, in a lot of cases, you're jumping from job to job, and it's almost like being a military family. So, you know, it's been a blessing for my family that you know, they know nothing less other than West Virginia and Morgantown, because all my kids have grown up here. You know, me and my wife are from Kansas, and Kansas State grads. But, you know, when we got out here, we started our family, and you know, being with Coach Huggins, and he's such a loyal, great guy to work for, that, you know, we didn't have much movement on our staff. It's just the way it was. I mean, we had a tight-knit group, and, you know, the last 5-6 years, I'm thinking, okay, you know, I've pretty much been told, you know, if somebody leaves or one of the assistants gets another job, you know, it's you're moving right up. So I had to be patient, and it's not like I was in a bad situation. I was, you know, doing great things for a great program, and being a huge part of the success that we've had here. So I don't look at it as a bad thing. I just had to be patient and wait my turn.
Yeah, they say patience is a virtue, although I will say, for those that don't have to wait as long as others, I've always laughed sometimes. Those are the people that tell you patience is a virtue. Were there times where you're like, man, I could speed up this process possibly and go somewhere else? Or was it kind of like, you know what, I'm familiar with this, and I appreciate everything Coach Huggs has done and the staff and this university, to where you were going to wait it out?
Well, I mean, I've had such a great relationship with Huggs, and the loyalty aspect of, you know, in this day and age, I mean, it's what have you done for me lately, and everybody jumping ship and instant gratification, and that's not really my motto, and that's not what really I'm about. So, I mean, I fit in with what we are doing here, and why ruin a good thing? Now, certainly there could have been opportunities I could have taken in a lower-level college job or assistant job, D2, and tried to work my way up, you know, quicker, but I see a lot of guys, you know, go that route, and they kind of burn themselves out and get stuck or get out. Or so I said, why not just be patient? And my family was happy, and what do you do? I mean, you're happy, and you stick where you're at, and you be patient with it.
Yeah, family is certainly important, no doubt, and they need to sign off on all of these things as well. Talk about the sacrifices that your family has to make. I mean, obviously, you know, we've talked to many coaches and also, of course, even professional athletes about being gone so much and not seeing their kids. Or we've talked to Todd Tishner, Major League Baseball umpire, about this quite a bit over the years, that, you know, he's traveling all the time during baseball season, to where he doesn't see his kids very often. He misses baseball games or baseball tournaments, or he misses this or he misses that, and I'm sure that's part of the struggle, isn't it, in your position, because that you have to travel so much, and maybe even more in your new role?
I'll definitely have to travel more, and that's already, you know, come into play. But you know what, when you got a wife, and coaches' wives are gold.
Yes.
I mean, that they got a heart of gold, and if you got a really good wife and someone that could really, you know, set down that foundation at home and make that priority, it makes life so much easier for a coach and to pursue his dream and pursue his passion. So, and my wife, Brandy's the best. So I have that, you know, in my corner. So we're excited, and the family's excited. And like you said, in terms of, you know, I got a freshman in high school, you know, one going in sixth grade and also one that's 5 years old that probably hits home for him the most because he doesn't really understand when dad's gone. But, you know, he'll grow up through it. And the kids, the opportunities the kids have got in terms of travel and going with a team here or going with a team there, I think they kind of outweigh some of the things that, you know, dad's going to be gone. It's part of his job. But they own it, too. They love being a part of the program. And so, you know, everybody's a family here.
Yeah, pros and cons to anything that you do, whether it's coaching or whatever it may be. Josh Eilert, he is now assistant men's basketball coach at West Virginia University on Coach Bob Huggins' staff. I'm sure many people out there listening that are maybe talking or hearing us talk for the first time, you've been on the show before a few times and we've discussed this maybe before, but for those newcomers that are listening, I'm sure they're interested in how did your relationship start with Coach Huggins and what's it been like to get to know him over the years? Because obviously, probably when you first met him, he looks pretty intimidating. He has that interesting attitude on the sideline. He is a colorful guy. And I've always thought, and I've heard stories, I know you've shared even a few stories before, that he'd be a really cool guy to hang out with, have a beer with, or whatever the case may be. Can you kind of share how that relationship developed over the years?
Yeah, I mean, when I first met Huggs, I was a graduate assistant there at K-State, and I took a leap of faith knowing, you know, Ward was at the end of his tenure, and he probably got one more year than he probably expected to get. And when he gave me the opportunity originally to come back at the GA, and, you know, I took the opportunity knowing, you know, what could happen in a year. And after 1 year working with him as a GA, and, you know, as expected, you know, he was released, and Coach Huggins came into the fold. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I'm figuring, you know, maybe he has his own people and you know, maybe he's going to say thanks, but no thanks. And you know, I'm like, I hit the road. But it didn't work that way. He about as down to earth as anybody can possibly be. You know, he came right into my office, sat down, knew I had ties to the state, knew I had ties to the university and played there. And he took the approach as like, you know, I can help him. He can help me. And we got to know each other really quick because we're really the same type of guy. And he gets a bad rap with the media and everything else because, you know, he doesn't worry about his image like so many of the coaches do. He is who he is, and that's what makes him beautiful.
Yeah, I appreciate people that are that way. Josh Eilert, I guess, assistant men's basketball coach for Bob Huggins on the West Virginia men's basketball team's coaching staff. So what are your goals? I'm trying to remember. How old are you now, Josh?
41. Years are flying by, Wade.
Yeah, tell me about it. It's funny because when I'm watching you guys play on television, I sometimes will tell my boys, I'm like, hey, there's Josh. You know, there's Josh. And then I don't know what year it was, probably recently. I'm like, Josh looks like he's got a little bit more gray in his hair, you know. Josh looks a little bit different. I'm like, well, that's what parenthood might do or coaching might do to you, right?
I'm okay with the gray as long as it don't fall out like the rest of my family.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that totally. So, but what are your future aspirations at your age and being able to get where you are now?
Right now, I mean, obviously I want to be a Division I head coach. Everybody kind of wants to strive to get to that level. But, you know, I want to do the best job I can right now for West Virginia and settle into this position. And those things kind of take care of themselves if you really own what you do and you're really excited about coming into work every day and, you know, being a positive influence on kids and changing their lives and trying to win games in the process. So that's the kind of attitude I'm taking with it. Do I want to be my head man someday? Absolutely. Who doesn't? It's not today, so let's do what I need to do today to get there. And I'm a one day at a time kind of guy.
During your time at West Virginia, or even prior to that, what's the best advice you have received within your profession, and what's the worst advice you have heard?
A guy told me one time, he said, just there's going to be hard, hard days in this business. Just integrity goes a long, long ways. I mean, if you don't do things the right way, they're going to come to light. So, you know, take it slow, steady. Be honest with people, keep your values, and one day, I mean, you stay in the business long enough, you're going to get your chance. and I've kind of lived that. So that's probably the best advice I've got over the years. And of course, I think you asked about the worst advice. You know, there's certainly guys out there that want to do things the wrong way, and they'll do anything to get ahead. And I don't know if it's advice, but you see people act in a certain way in this business, and you're thinking, yeah, it might help you win a few more games right away, but it's going to catch up to you. So integrity is huge, and especially, you know, you've seen it in the state of Kansas, and I'm not going to go any further with that, but anyway, it's you try to do things the right way and keep your values, and things are going to pay off in your favor.
And it leads me to my next point perfectly, and that is the challenge of recruiting. We've seen Roy Williams retire, and he was certainly was up in the 70s. Mike Krzyzewski stepped away from the game. Jay Wright unexpectedly stepped away from the game. And many people connect the dots and say, listen, it's a whole new landscape now with name, image, likeness, NIL. The transfer portal is so prevalent, and there's not as much loyalty as there once was, and kids aren't willing to work through adversity. You know, I don't get a start right away, or if I'm not big man on campus, which I think is unfair in some cases because not all kids are that way. I think you got to be careful to lump all kids into that. But there's certainly more and more kids that go into the transfer portal. There's now the NIL part of the equation. How much more challenging does that make it in recruiting for you, now an assistant coach at West Virginia, and for others, when you're trying to not only recruit people to fill openings you have for scholarships to be on your basketball team, Josh, but the other thing that you have to do now is basically, and we've talked to various play-by-play announcers and other coaches, say not only are you recruiting to fill spots, you're also re-recruiting all the kids that you used to be in the past, you just figured we're going to stick around.
In terms of timing, you talk about the guys that are leaving in this business. It's been very, very successful. You know, the way we look at it is, like, we got to adapt. Mm-hmm. The changes are what they are. It's not like we agree with a lot of them, but let's move forward and adapt. And I don't think, for me personally, it's a bad thing I'm coming in as an assistant. You know, I think I take that as a positive. Okay, I get to start fresh, not making changes as to what I'm doing in terms of recruiting. I'm starting right now in the moment when there is the transfer portal, when there is NIL. So I see it as I'm starting fresh. These guys have to change. They got to kind of change the way they do things to adapt to what they've done their whole lives in terms of recruiting. So that's a positive for me. Now, yes, NIL is going to come into play, and people are going to abuse it in terms of the recruiting side of things. And you know, from our standpoint, we're not allowed to do, you know, the negotiating ahead of time. So you recruit a kid, and then they can kind of benefit from their name, image, and likeness, whether it be through a trust that's set up or whatnot. But, yes, you know, there's going to be loopholes where people are going to take advantage, as everybody had in the past, trying to figure out how to get an edge. But like I said earlier, you just got to keep your integrity and do things the right way, and things will pay off for you.
What's your thoughts on the transfer portal? So many kids, whether a coaching staff or a coach leaves, whether they left for another position, whether a coach is fired, sometimes it's not enough playing time. Sometimes it's just they're not happy. Now, in some cases, it could be, I got a chance to make more money elsewhere. We saw Nigel Pack go from K-State to Miami of Florida. The transfer portal, the impact that it has for you guys and your philosophy of recruiting, because, you know, I think about it in everyday life. You know this as well as anyone, that when you're coming out of college and you try to interview for a job, one of the things the employer will say, well, I'm looking for somebody with experience. Well, how am I supposed to get experience if you're not going to give me experience? And as an employer myself, at the same time now, 20 years later or whatever it is, after I graduated at college and looking for a job, is that, yes, I'm probably going to value a guy that I don't have to train as much. I value a guy or gal that has more experience than somebody coming out of college. It's not that I'm not willing to train them, but it's going to take more work and time. Now we we put that into the basketball landscape, you're looking for somebody to fill a spot in your basketball team. Are you looking more at the transfer portal than, say, the high school senior that's a really good, talented kid but might take a couple years to develop? Because I know there aren't as many spots for those high school seniors as there once were.
There's definitely not. And then these high school seniors need to kind of take the approach to where, there's going to be D1 schools kind of flirting with them at the highest level. But they got a different program's going to attack this a different way. You know, we're in the mindset in a lot of ways, okay, we got to keep the unity and the synergy together. So we got to be careful who we bring in for a 1 year or 2 year transfer.
Mm-hmm.
But you also got to think, okay, these are battle tested guys. These are guys that are going to help you win right away. And so it's a double edged sword a little bit. You want to kind of bring those guys up 1, 2, 3, 4 years and have a senior laden team that's all worked together and are very cohesive. But how do you know that those guys aren't after 1 or 2 years going to put their hand out and say, okay, I'm very marketable now.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't I go throw my name in the hat and see who pay me the most in terms of name, image, and likeness. So we kind of look at it both ways. If a kid is ready to compete and give us, production year one, then we're definitely going to be interested. Now, are you going to continue to recruit some of these kids? Maybe they weren't quite ready as a freshman. They might go to a smaller school. You can't tamper with them, but you never burn a bridge. You've recruited them. You have a relationship with them. So if they do blow up, they might want to step up to the highest level.
Josh Eiler is with us. He's assistant men's basketball coach for West Virginia men's basketball team. He's our guest today on the Sports Ticket. I think it is interesting too, Josh, and I'm sure you can give some insight to this, and part of the reason why I wanted you on today as well is you talked about it, that there is the integrity. That's a word that stood out that you mentioned, integrity. And we were talking about it before we had you on this morning on our prior segment of the show, and I'm sure this happens many, many times where – and you may have to go through this, good or bad, and maybe Coach Huggins and others that you've worked with have given you examples of this, whether it's good or bad. Maybe it worked out to your advantage, maybe it didn't, to where you're kind of chasing the kid, right? There's a kid you like, you have a relationship, you've been recruiting this kid for a year, maybe two, you've put in a lot of time and effort, and you really feel good you're going to get this kid to come to your university and play for your team. And let's say, in fact, you're really confident it's going to happen, and then all of a sudden he has some kind of showcase or he does something special, and then boom, whether it's Bill Self or Nick Saban, we talk about like K-State sometimes in football, it's a 3-star, but if Nick Saban's interested, suddenly he goes up to a 4 or a 5-star and then is on the map. And so then you've invested all this time to try to get this kid. The kid, you can't blame him, listens to all offers and can be enamored with a name or a brand. Have you heard stories about that where you work so hard to get there, or people told you, hey, Josh, be prepared for that?
I mean, that happens every day in this business. So, they can only take so many guys. So, if they're taking one off your hands and there's somebody else available. So you kind of got to work through that from the beginning to know where you're at with them. And that's where I like to get, and I'm early in the recruiting calls, but I like to get with the kids and say, hey, do we have a chance with you? Especially those high major kids. Just be forthright with me. I don't want to waste my time. I'm very, very interested. I like everything you can do, what you can bring to the table. But am I recruiting you for 2 years to find out that you never had any interest in going with us to begin with? So you got to kind of filter through that, and you got to have a feel for, where they're at and whether, they're enamored with attention, which in a lot of cases, these kids are just trying to, get as much attention as possible. So they soak it all up, and they know there's probably 2 or 3 schools that they're narrowed down to. So you got to kind of sift through the, the BS in a lot of ways. But I like to connect with the kids that I feel like, they're being the most honest with you, and they show the true interest in your school.
Absolutely. Let's turn to The Big 12, of course, the Big 12 has won the last two national championships. Baylor won 2 years ago. KU won it last year. I would imagine that doesn't hurt the league. I have heard people say, well, you know, if your team is out, you need to, like, if you're a K-State fan and you should cheer for KU if they're still alive, or if KU is out, they should cheer for K-State or Wichita State's still in. And then I hear people will tell me, well, you know, I hate Oklahoma, but now we got to cheer for the Big 12 because we got to cheer for the Big 12 and Oklahoma's the last team standing. And I've always kind of felt like, really? Like, I mean, do you really? Does it help you guys as a conference when teams even other than yourselves do well or in this case win championships? Does that help you at all in recruiting because the conference has teams that are carrying the banner to where they've gone deep in tournaments? Or is that maybe a detriment or doesn't even really have an impact?
We sell the conference a lot. I mean, to be at this conference where, you know, yes, like you said, two national championships in the last few years. So, I mean, we sell the fact that you're going to play against the greatest competition. People want to be on TV. They want to play against the highest competition, especially if you want to get to the next level. So, yeah, for the most part, I cheer for good people, if that makes sense.
Sure.
In this business and people that do the things the right way. But, yeah, at the end of the day, you want your league to win and want your league to be successful. Now, sometimes the league's too good. I mean, last year we were 11-1 going into league play, and we felt pretty good about ourselves. But, you know, things happen, and there's years that you feel like you run into a buzzsaw every night, and you can't get a breath. And that kind of happened to us last year. So the league was really, really good, and it's going to continue to be really good. But sometimes at the – a good thing, and sometimes when you're trying to, you know, get to the 19-20 wins and get your resume and, you know, in par on those one of those, you know, bubble years, it makes it really hard.
I know it's way premature. It's August the 17th, but since I have you on the phone, I'll ask you this: what's the feeling about your team and your squad coming up this year?
We like our. I mean, we got a great group of guys. That's the first battle in this business is having a good group that's solid. They're in it for each other. Sometimes I felt last year, especially in the second half of the season, you know, guys are pulling in different directions. And when you got a good group and you're excited to be around them every day, and they're excited to come to practice, those are the years you know early that you're set up to have some success. So right now we feel good about our group. We feel good about the guys we got brought in, and we're not going to be probably picked in the top half of the conference in a lot of cases based on what we did last year. But, you know, that's the way we like to roll around here, you know, have a little chip on our shoulder and, you know, prove guys wrong.
All right, Josh, this is the most important question. It's time for the off-the-wall question with Josh Eilert, who has been promoted to be assistant men's basketball coach for West Virginia. And be looking for him. He'll be right there near Coach Huggins on the sideline. And Josh, there are a lot of Eilerts. Goodness gracious. There's a lot of Eilerts in North Central Kansas. There's some I probably still haven't met. There's Brunas in Hanover. There's different names in certain towns, but Eilert's a pretty common name here in North Central Kansas. So I've teased another Eilert that I was going to have you on today, and I said just wait for the off-the-wall question. So here we go, Josh. I'm going to put you on the spot. Originally, I was going to ask you the most annoying Eilert that you know, but I didn't think you might really want to answer that question. So I'm going to ask you. But if you want to, that's fine. But I'm going to ask you, since we were talking about hair, who is the most follically challenged Eilert in your opinion, or really is just going south and has no chance and may just lose their hair completely? Or maybe it's already happened.
Are we talking Mitchell County? Are we
sure.
Talking
you
County?
Could Mitchell, Osborne County, North Central Kansas. Feel free. Fire away.
I'm going to take a shot at my brother, Judd Eilert, down there in Osborne, Kansas. That he said goodbye that years ago. So I'd say he's a follically challenged, and I don't know. I don't know why I got blessed with a big old head of gray hair, but it is what it is. I'll take it. Like I said, gray's a lot better than none at all.
Well, I know a few other Eilerts are a little more follically challenged than they once were. That may, you know, have to deal with children, of course, and then, of course, coaching and so forth. And I say that with love because I am in the exact same boat. So I am not one to really make fun of anybody for that standpoint because it comes back on me. So the second part of that is, who's the best looking Eilert man, excluding yourself? I mean, who's the dapper dandy? All right, the guy that's just getting, hasn't lost all their hair yet. You know, but who's the guy, man?
How about Coach Ryan Eilert?
Oh, no. No, you can't. That is not an acceptable answer. Yeah, not acceptable.
That is the answer, so you have to deal with it every day.
Well, safe to say this whole thing blew up in my face very, very quickly.
That's where I figured it came from.
Yeah, you kind of put all that together, didn't you? I kind of gave it away with the coaching part, probably.
Well, I gotta kiss his butt a little bit, just in case he has a player. He might send him my way.
That's true. Well, he's got his own son, of course, on the team, and then I've got a son on the team, and if I can make him grow a foot, if he can grow another foot between now and the end of his senior year, then I'll be getting a hold of you, all right?
Maybe you'll have a Dean Wade that doesn't want to go to K-State, and I can get him out this way.
There you go. That sounds good. No question about it. Josh, congratulations on the promotion. Best of luck this upcoming basketball season. We greatly appreciate your time, and it's fascinating to kind of get a behind-the-scenes look at what college athletics is like from a coaching standpoint. And I know we spent a lot of time not really talking about on the court, but talking more off the court. And we wish you all the best, and hopefully we can have you on again sometime.
Thanks, Wade. Appreciate you having me.
Not a problem. Take care. Josh Eilert, he is the newest assistant coach for the West Virginia men's basketball team. Our guest today on The Ticket.